welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am broadcasting to you from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, is Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany. Scott, how are you?
Good. When was the last time you did one of these things?
A week ago.
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. what have you been up to over the last week, Scott?
Yeah,
anything of interest?
Well, I don't know. It's all a blur. Thought I did something like this yesterday. Can't remember. Long weekend, May Day. I hit the streets on May Day. And
wearing all red, were you?
Wearing all red, hit the streets. Yeah, just made myself known. What have you been up to?
Well, what I've been up to, I was looking in the mirror earlier on, about half an hour ago, and just noticed my eyebrows are out of control, and there's no need for it. I actually feel them weighing down my eyes. So, you know, after this podcast is done, Scott, I'm going to be seeing to those quick smart, absolutely quick smart.
I can see you getting, going to perhaps a beautician and getting them waxed and sort of chiseled like, you know, thin and chiseled sort of eyebrows. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't know whether that's still the fashion. I noticed that the latest fashion amongst the female folk is to have their the eyebrows actually quite full. I wouldn't say bushy, but quite full. Whereas, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the fashion was to have them sort of like razor thin. Look, thinking about it now, we're kind of out of our element when it comes to this conversation. you and I should not actually ever talk fashion or beauty at all, because they are two topics that you and I know very, very little about.
Yep.
But I tell you what, Scott, we know a lot about the next subject, and it's time for the World Report. What's on the agenda, big guy?
Estonia.
Estonia?
Whoa, you snapped out of that, didn't you?
Well, but I thought that was already settled. They ended up opting for the hedgehog.
No.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong. No, they didn't end up opting for the hedgehog. Quite the contrary.
This is incredulous. I cannot believe it. I mean, you're bullshitting me about this, aren't you, Scott?
I'm not.
Come on, mate. Come on. I've invested too much time, thought and capital into this issue to fall for your trickery, flim-flam and, quite frankly, sleight of hand and also bullshit. But I tell you what. What did they eventually went for? I mean, having a few guesses before correctly guessing what they actually went for.
Yeah, do that.
I'm guessing they went for the aardvark. Did they go for the aardvark?
Wrong. Next guess, please.
The armadillo.
Wrong.
The southern grey hairy-nosed wombat.
Wrong.
The wolf.
Bingo.
shit. Look, I know that while it's an Estonian icon, it's still very controversial, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it is indeed a measuring rod of the condition of Estonians' forests and natural habitats, which are, of course, synonymous with that great country. But it's also undoubtedly a predator, Scott. And is that the image that Estonians really, really want?
That was a rhetorical question. Please continue.
Okay. Well, you know, my view is that they should have taken it to a referendum, let the people have their say. And while I didn't want to believe it, I'll always have my doubts about the jury.
Yes, the jury, listeners that Daniel is speaking of, a jury of 20 judges who were appointed, each of them with conservation/nature-related credentials, were the ones who ultimately decided on this.
You know how hard it is to get 20 judges in the one room, let alone 20 judges with conservation nature related credentials?
Pretty hard.
Especially in a tiny, tiny country like in Estonia. I would imagine that would be very, very difficult. But you know what? I knew it. So, all right, give us the lowdown.
Yeah, I'll give you all the lowdown. The debate commenced some 5 years ago, but then became dormant. There was a time when the hedgehog, which I believe was your preference, Daniel, was all but was all but home and hosed as the national animal, be it unofficially. Then, of course, came the lead up to Estonia's centenary of February 24th this year. Daniel,
Home and hosed. Home and hosed.
What?
Nothing, nothing. Just thinking out loud, Scott. But please continue with your impactful report. Mm. And Scott, I mean that.
Before we do so, whom did Estonia gain its independence from 100 years ago?
100 years ago? I'm not that old, Scott, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Okay. The election process was every bit as heated and disputed as the final decision was itself, Daniel.
You see, sorry for interrupting again, but this just really gets my goat. I mean, dash it all. I actually do use that as a term, yes.
Dash, do you use dash
it really
at all?
Does get my goat. I don't use dash at all, no. I don't know why I'm saying it now, to be honest. But I tell you what, at least two online polls, including one from the highly renowned Facebook, which is a website, Scott, showed overwhelming support for the hedgehog. Do you have Facebook in Germany?
Yeah, we do have Facebook in Germany. It's called Buch des Gesichts. Yeah, it's quite commonly known.
Sounds as evil as it should in Germany. But I tell you what, Scott, I want to make some of the following points.
Please do.
Now, there are also other animals in the running, and let me just list them alphabetically. The badger, the bear, the beaver, and let me just skip down the line, the fox.
Yeah.
And the bandicoot. And the Tasmanian devil, and a whole bunch of others. But, you know, what was it really about? The wolf and the hedgehog. I mean, that's what it came down to, those two, didn't it?
It did. It did.
Blazes, Scott.
Oh, you're incredulous.
But, you know, I can't help but just gravitate back to the whimsical hedgehog. It just makes me think of the great poet and philosopher, Harren Dahl, who penned the following. I can't pretend to riff off it. I have to read it verbatim. So he wrote, "O ye, little fellow of the nobility, the sage of the folk, enlightened soul of the marshland, the whimsical hedgehog."
Yes.
Still very much the way I feel about it to this very day.
I can feel it. I think the listeners can feel it now. This is genuine. This is, you're not putting this on.
Yes, if only if I involved myself more in the campaign, Scott, perhaps things could have changed. But, you know, lo and behold, we're left with the wolf.
Lo and behold, I'll push on. As stated, it was a heated process that involved all manner of polls and interest groups, including hunters. Hunters, yep.
And collectors.
Not them.
You never happened. Okay. All right.
Allegations of vote rigging in at least one of those polls, but based on its extensive history in Estonian folklore, the wolf was officially decided on a few days ago. Let's muse over what this could mean, what changes this could mean.
Well, what's the actual practical impact of having the wolf as your national animal?
Oh, well, I think for one, there has been talk of it going on to the national flag.
Could you describe to me what the current flag looks like?
The current flag, if it's still the one I'm thinking of, there is a setting sun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's pictured by a big, it's represented by a big red circle, and and the background is white.
Yeah, no, that's the Japanese flag. No, the Estonian flag is actually just blue, black, and white, Scott. But close. Scott, it's time. Hang on, wait a sec.
What's this?
It says here on the running sheet that it's time to throw to an announcement from the Simpleton Podcast editorial team.
Did you know about this? I did not know. I only know about it now that we've come to this point in the running sheet. Did you know anything about this?
I knew nothing of it. What is this?
I don't know.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit apprehensive about actually playing this, Scott. Do you think we should push on or what?
I think we ought to push on, but reserve the right to comment and judgment thereafter.
Okay, roll the tape.
Okay.
Hear ye, denizens, consumers, listeners of the Simpleton Podcast. This is a sinking ship. The Simpleton Podcast is sinking, and beyond salvation, beyond redemption, it will surely sink beneath the waves. A house divided cannot stand, and this house is divided beyond repair. But we will not abandon this sinking ship. We will stay until the bitter end and go down with her to the bottom of the murky depths. But our message to all of you out there, all you listeners of the Simpleton Podcast, is this. Get out. Get out now. Shareholders, sell out now. Sell all your stock in the Simpleton Podcast. To all of our Patreons, disinvest. Boycott our sponsors, all of you. In fact, contact our sponsors and demand that they pull their advertising from the podcast forthwith. Switch off. Never listen to another episode. Tell your friends and your family to do the same. Clear your hard drives of any episodes that you may have downloaded. Erase every trace of the Simpleton Podcast. Save yourselves. Save yourselves while there is still the chance. Take to the lifeboats. Take to them and cling to them for dear life. The Simpleton Podcast is about to sink. Get out now. But as for us here at the Simpleton Podcast, we will not abandon her, even on her final murky lunge into the abyss. Thank you for your time.
Well, they've absolutely gone rogue, haven't they? Absolutely gone rogue.
Absolutely gone rogue.
I know that we had that town hall meeting at, was it Mypole Town Hall?
Yeah, about 5 months back, 6 months.
Yeah, 6 or 7 months back. And, you know, the stakeholders and the shareholders and the like voted pretty heavily to have the to retain the Simpleton Podcast editorial team.
Yeah.
But Scott, could you just lean in a bit?
I'm leaning in.
Yeah, I think it's time that we are absolutely shit-canned the Simpleton Podcast editorial team. They have done nothing but lead us down a whole bunch of rabbit holes over the past several years. When did we start this podcast?
About 6 or 7 years ago.
And we're only up to episode 78, is it? 79?
79.
That's pathetic. That's got nothing to do with them, though. I think it's time that, you know, democracy is all well and good, but I think it's time that this podcast became a benevolent dictatorship. What say you?
Daniel, are you sitting down?
Yeah, I will. Yes, I'm sitting down now, yes.
Can you please come a bit closer?
Okay.
You're not going to like this. After that town hall meeting, the people had spoken quite clearly. I took the liberty of signing the Simpleton Podcast editorial team up to long-term deals in the name of stability for the podcast and its future.
Yeah, you're never a fucking businessman, were you, Scott? You're never a businessman. You're just a glorified public servant. Scott,
yeah.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
The dire warnings that the Simpleton Podcast editorial team just presented to us and our listeners, hello, Nathan, well overstated, and while we do require the support of patreon.com/simpletonpodcast for people to go there and support us financially so we can keep this podcast up and running,
mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you I've secured a new sponsor.
We're the local guys who have been covering and shading windows for more than 80 years, and we do a great job.
We can block out a view, shade the outdoors, create cool curtains, shutters, blinds, and you can have them all motorised.
More than that, everything we do well.
So if you need blinds, curtains, awnings for indoors or out,
talk to us local. You'll find us right here.
Bush's Blinds, Friar Street, Shepparton.
So what do you think of that, Scott?
Simpleton Podcast 1, editorial team 0, Daniel. Dynamite.
thank you to Bush's Blinds in Friar Street, Shepparton. Couldn't do the podcast without you. And let me tell you this, Scott, we're going to have a number of new sponsors starting with Bush's Blinds, going forward over the weeks ahead to support this podcast and make sure that it's viable. And what we really need, but what we really need to make sure it's really viable, is those it's that Patreon support. And, you know, if you want to support us, just click on the link that'll be in the show notes for this particular podcast. Okay. Having said all of that, Scott, I believe it's time for the sports report. Scott, what have you got?
Belize, tell us about this tiny Mayan nation, Daniel.
No fucking nothing about it. No clue whatsoever.
Okay. Simpletons out there, this is your Belizean cricket wrap-up.
Why the pause?
After having the weekend off over April 21, 22, the Belize National Cricket Association resumed in earnest on the weekend past. There was...
You're leaving what? Room for another newscast intro, aren't you? I'm not doing it, Scott. And by the way, why did they have the weekend off?
Well, more on that now, to be quite frank with you. There was an All-Stars event featuring two 2020 matches, one of them an over-50s game, the other between Zone 1 and Zone 2. In the over-50 event, Team 1, captained by Robert Panting, went down to Team 2, captained by Edison Parks. Parks winning man of the match for his half-century and tally of 3 wickets. Meanwhile, Zone 1, under the captaincy of Walton Banner, took out a narrow victory over Zone 2, under the leadership of Gareth Joseph. Herbert Banner of Zone 1 took out MOM for his 43 runs and 2 wickets.
Yeah, man of the match, MOM, man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I see you're up to you're up to speed as I am, Scott, on Belizean cricket, and I tilt my hat to you for that, for once. So, what happened in this weekend's matches?
Right. So, let me just get this straight before we do the rundown. You know absolutely nothing about Belize, the nation, but you're a connoisseur of Belizean cricket.
I know nothing at all about Bordeaux, but I'm a connoisseur of Bordeaux wine, Scott. So what's your point?
I'm now going to talk about the matches before the All-Stars event, Daniel.
Yeah, well, go on. Put your skates on. Rattle your dags.
The Police Cricket Club continued their hot form with a strong victory over the Western Eagles in Rancho Dolores. For the visitors, Keenan Flowers top scored with 97. For the vanquished, Dirk Sutherland compiled 51 runs, Daniel.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised to hear of Keenan's success. Mm. Not only is the rising star of the Belizean cricket scene, and I'll tell you what, no one works harder in the nets than Keenan.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, he's also one of the finest police officers I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And I think what the listeners would really want to know, Scott, is, however, is the outcome of the hotly anticipated clash between Summer Fever and Easy Does It.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let the names belie the seriousness of this competition, Scott, because this goes deep and it goes hard.
Easy Does It was a Victor Daniel with Glenford Banner top scoring. I believe that he managed to...
Bling.
With Glenford Banner top scoring.
Bling.
What do you mean?
He likes to be called Bling. It's his title. I mean, do you think Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods's real name? I mean, now tell us about Bling.
That individual top scored with 50, while Kenroy Reynolds took 4 wickets for the vanquished. Jermaine Bleaser top scored with 25, and George Hines took 4 wickets.
So next up we have Rural Mix versus The Big Deal. Two red hot rivals again.
Indeed. The Mixers were victorious on this one, Daniel. For the winners, Dudley Hendy top scored with 54. Keegan Tillett took 3 wickets. For the losers, Malik Sutherland top scored with 26 and Brian Casanova took 3 wickets. Oh, sorry, I'll continue. Yeah. We then had Wicket 11 versus Sunrise with the former victorious. For Wicket 11, Travis Robinson top scored with 40. Dwayne Hendy took 3 wickets. For Sunrise, Gareth Joseph, that name again, top scored with 29 and Edison Parks took 2 wickets, Daniel.
So I understand that there are currently no... What just happened?
What happened?
Yeah, you sound like you dropped something.
I moved one... I'm finished that page of the running sheet.
Oh, what, you just threw it sort of willfully over your shoulder, did you?
Yep. I'll pick him up later.
Okay, cool. You or the wife will pick it up later. I know which one. Yeah, chauvinist pig. Anyway, I understand that there are no stats currently available for the hotly anticipated clash between excellence and old youth, although I understand the former was the winner. But I take it that you have now delayed the result to bring us with the hot sports report, Scott. Sorry, yeah, it with is a this hot sports report.
It's a hot sports report, this one. From the weekend prior, we can now bring you the delayed result from the game between Berlin and Sugar Boys, with the former taking out the victory in a closely fought hot game. For the victors, Lamelt Russell top scored with quickfire 36, while the Dyesh brothers each snagged 3 wickets. For the vanquished, Jamie McKee top scored with 75 runs. Clifford Tillett took 2 wickets. Listeners, this has been your sports report for this week.
I've got to say, Scott, I'm actually very encouraged by the future about the future of Belizean cricket. About a month ago, I was fortunate enough to go and see the inaugural Central American cricket title in a pulsating, which I viewed a pulsating final against Mexico.
Yeah.
In the end, they won by 78 runs.
Yeah.
With young batsmen Conway Young and Samson Astrome, both of whom played solid knocks in the final, and bowlers like spin maestro, that little master Mozart Peugeot,
yeah,
and seamer Clarence Anthony, or CA for short, both of them wicket machines, and there's a lot to like.
Yeah,
I've got to say though, Costa Rica was unlucky not to make the final, but you know, someone had to miss out, given that there were 3 teams and only 2 spots in the final.
Very well put. And apparently they're naming the title, they're going to rename that title the Mayan Cup, Daniel. But I have to ask you, is your information old?
Oh, well, I was at the game last month.
The players you mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, most have retired.
Yeah, well, you know, have you ever tried South American beer, Scott? It's fantastic. Yes. You have? Yeah, actually, I believe that. Yeah. You drink all sorts of weird shit. But I tell you what... it's a bloody good drop, and you know, I had a fair bit. So what I saw is what I have reported to you last month. Whether it's accurate or not, I don't care. It's what I saw.
Very good. Are we done with this hot sports report?
Yeah, we've done with the hot sports report. You know what time it is now, Scott?
Yeah.
It's time for listeners' letters. Dear listeners, we can't do this podcast without you, and we certainly can't do it without your correspondence. And your correspondence is very gratefully appreciated when it is sent to us via contact@simpletonpodcast.com. Send us a letter on anything you want, any subject matter you want, in any mood you're in, and we'll gladly address it and read it out to our thousands of simpletons who tune into this podcast every week. Scott, I believe you've got the first letter.
Yeah, dude. This one is from Derek Moonbeam of Croydon West, Melbourne. Daniel,
West Croydon? Yeah, Croydon West is very close to Ringwood. Ringwood West.
Wow.
And Ringwood East and Ringwood South and Central Ringwood.
So it'd be fair to say Croydon West shares a frontier with Ringwood.
Yeah, we've obviously got a real sort of hot pocket of listenership in that little pocket of Melbourne.
That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. And actually now thinking about the demographic of that area, yeah, it makes sense. It kind of makes sense.
Okay, good. This is what Dirac has to say. Let's talk soccer. For the life of me, I still can't figure it out. Yes, the idea of the game is to get the ball by legal means into your own goal. That's the idea. But seriously, what's so good about that? Yes, I understand that getting the ball into your own goal is the idea of the game, but again, I must ask, what's so good about that? A real head scratcher. Help, please, guys. Thank you. Daniel, what do you make of that?
So when Derek says own goal, does he actually mean own goal, like in the sense of, you know, you're kicking it into the goal that you're supposed to be defending?
That's a topic for another day, but it's an excellent question.
Let's just leave that. Well, I think we're going to have to lie down and have a think about that one in the week ahead, Scott, before we can accurately address it.
Or maybe the listeners would care to write in about it.
Yeah, please, please. If you want to take 5 minutes out of your life to address that particular quandary, by all means, contact at simpletonpodcast.com.
Good.
Scott, I've got the second letter.
Yeah.
And this one comes from, oh my God, I can't believe it. It comes from Croydon Hills.
Is that a real suburb?
I don't believe it's a real suburb. I think that's just a suburb that some wanker real estate agent has made up to try and make the two-bedroom house with one toilet and one garage sound far more exotic than it is. But that's real estate agents for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just a pack of, nah, I won't say that. Okay. And anonymous, and if you could actually, when you're writing to us, it would be good if you could just give us a name. It doesn't have to be your real name. It could be a ridiculous name like Brian Murphy, just a made-up name. It doesn't have to be a real name, but it does read better than anonymous. So if you could just do that, thank you, simpletons. Anonymous, however, writes, no. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Scott, you have the third and final letter, yeah?
This one is from Lionel Wedgegrove of Croydon South, yes, Melbourne.
Fuck me.
This is what Lionel has to say. Those who speak of the human body as an object of beauty are kidding themselves. Just last night, I suffered from an extreme bout of gastro. For the better part of 12 hours, my body was busy violently expunging the nasties inside through every available orifice, often simultaneously. Beautiful, you say? Daniel.
Mm. Yeah, well, Lionel makes a decent point.
A fine point.
I was unfortunate enough the other day to catch myself naked in the mirror, Scott.
Yeah.
And he's right about the human body. It's not great, especially the male human body. It's particularly in the wrong light. It's a fucking hideous specimen. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I won't comment on the other aspects. We've already got enough issues as it is, legal issues.
Are you talking about the female body?
Yeah, we don't want to get them offside.
We don't. Yeah, we don't want the women's libbers riding in and just tearing us apart. Although I will say this, the female body is far better than the male body, and I'm not just saying that because, we'll probably end up cutting this bit out of the podcast, Scott. So let's just continue, and I'll count to 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay,
and ask you. Scott, is there anything in the week ahead that we should be aware of?
An interesting little story. Apparently, a business conglomerate that's been mentioned on this podcast before, not naming names, is undertaking an ambitious plan. First, it's trying to get the authorization to actually have Norfolk Island towed into Queensland territorial water where the corporate tax rates are lower. I guess there might be more on this another time. Do you see anything?
Yeah, that sounds like our man. No, quite frankly, Scott, I don't think there's anything that people should be worried about in the week coming. As a matter of fact, just treat it like a day has gone by, and the week itself will present itself in a far more favourable and easy fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, that's all for this episode of the Simpleton Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.